All right. Thank you, Bob. Bless your hearts. Have a seat, guys. Get myself together here. Okay. I'll put it over here for a change. Oh. You want it round the bit, round the river bend.
There we go.
Round and round we go. Okay. I'm all set. All right, greetings, you guys, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. That name still gets sweeter every day. But yes, as Bob mentioned, certainly our hearts are very full after such a rich weekend in God's Word, God doing so many great things, moving in the hearts of people. It's spectacular. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, we're going to go to 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 17. We're going to stay there. as Bob mentioned, once again, the theme of our weekend in Phoenix was the prepared heart. And kind of makes you think about a few things. But I wanted to take a look at a record this morning that really has inspired so many Christians and other people across the world for many, 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 many years, time and time and time again. So, y'all know this record. You've heard it, I've heard it, we've preached it, we've taught on it, we've learned it in children's fellowship. But you know what? As you know, our theme was the prepared heart. And that includes a lot of wonderful things that are at the disposal of the born-again believer, right? I was inspired to revisit this record in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this record is about a big giant, but an even greater God, right? He's the God of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Now, as we all know, David was coming against a physical giant, wasn't he? Goliath was this large guy, and you know what? There have been many speculations as to how tall he was, how much he weighed, how much his armor weighed, how much his shield weighed, things of that nature. But I think we can agree that he was, well, you guys all know Shaq, right? Shaquille O'Neal, probably one of the tallest basketball players to ever exist. He was a large guy. So Goliath was probably in that ballpark, right? And there are others who are quite large as well, especially in the sports world. But you know what? The thing is, Goliath, compared to these other guys, he had a bad attitude. He had a bad attitude. He was a bully. And he was intimidating the you-know-what out of the troops, out of the Israelites. I mean, these guys were freaked out, right? They were afraid. And he took full-on advantage of that. So we're here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start at the top here in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at... I'm not too good with these pronunciations, so forgive me. Going to have to do some deep dive research on that. And Saul, verse 2, and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits plus more. So this guy was out in front of the Israelites day after day after day for 40 days in full armor. And he had, in verse 6, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. Well, there you have it. We're just laying a foundation here, okay? This giant of a man comes out day after day and called out this battle cry. Were the Philistines believers? Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. Verse 10. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That's fear. Fear is not a nice thing, is it? Fear does a lot of things, right? Have you ever been afraid of something? We all have these little irrational fears. Some are afraid of spiders. Some are afraid of butterflies. Some are afraid of bugs. You know, things of heights. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of getting into the ocean. I mean, the list goes on and on. But fear. Fear is the thing that defeats people in their day-by-day living. Fear makes cowards of us all. Fear, you know, when push comes to shove and we come face to face with the enemy, you know what most of us want to do? Our first instinct in the five senses is to tuck tail and run the other way. But here's an interesting thing in this record. David did not need Goliath's strength because he already knew God's. Who was David? Well, he was the youngest son. He was a boy that had come before Saul, as did all of his brothers, to be selected into the army. But unfortunately, since he was young, he was turned away to go back and tend the sheep. And I'm not sure if tending sheep was some small, insignificant job. It was rather important. But I think there's a greater truth to be learned from this record. Many times when we talk about David and Goliath, we often think about slaying the giants of our own lives, right? We refer to things such as fear, discouragement, hopelessness, loneliness, anger, financial stress, and anything that really does try to rise above us, right? I mean, temptations, you fill in the blank. But I'd like to maybe take a little bit of a different perspective on this. Here's the real question. Are we prepared? I'll tell you what, I was not prepared when I started to go to the gym this week. I had a one-hour consultation with a trainer, and I was not prepared. Tell you that much. You know what? Many people have traveled and taken tours of Israel. It's a very common place to visit, especially because of where this battle took place between the Philistines and the Israelites. And the interesting thing is that the tourism board has to come in by the truckloads and drop down a bunch of pebbles, because people like to take rocks from this area to kind of commemorate this battle. Just kind of an interesting side note on that. But back to the record. There's a greater truth to be learned from this record of David and Goliath? Because we've all heard it time and time again. We've all shared it, I'm sure. You know, we've made little cutouts and figurines when we were kids on this story. We've seen it on TV. I think it was last year, there was another animated film that was released in theaters on this story. And you know what? Many people automatically think of the big guy versus the little guy and how David took something rather insignificant and when all odds were against him, he prevailed. But here's the thing. Here's a really interesting thing. It's a nice record. It's a great story. But I think the real lesson to be learned here is this. Is this story about fighting our own problems and fighting our own enemies? Or is it really about fighting God's enemies? Goliath spoke it himself in verse 10. He said it. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Don't think that the Philistines were fighting the Israelites just because they were from Israel. No, the Israelites were God's chosen people. So there's the proof that there's already a spiritual battle at play. Ever since the beginning, ever since the fall of man, it's been a spiritual battle. So do we really think that David went into that battle looking to fight his own personal enemy? I don't think so. I don't think so. And you know what? The Philistines were not believers, right? The Philistines did not stand for the one true God. So the lesson to be learned has to be about spiritual warfare. Are we prepared? Not about achieving my best so that I can look at me, because that's what happens when we take the lesson from this record and we think that it's about fighting my own personal problems and my personal enemies. It becomes all about me. My problems, my strengths, my weaknesses, my abilities, my accomplishments, my this, my that. And we're all guilty of that at one point or another. I think that's a pretty common human experience. What about spiritual warfare? Right? That's kind of the whole idea of having a prepared heart. If there was no such thing as of good versus evil, then we would never have to be prepared. We'd be fine. What if the pebbles in the slingshot are not there to teach us about the limited resources we have, but rather for us to be more intentional about building our spiritual skills, strength, and courageous faith, so that when spiritual attacks do come for us, we can stand and fight with God on our side? What if David's lack of armor is not to teach us that we don't need armor, but rather to use spiritual tactics instead to keep us outside of Satan's reach while we fight him and stay on the offense, not on the defense? Beauties of technology. Notice that David never got into close proximity with the giant. He never got in Goliath's face, right? Actually, it says he ran towards the giant. And David was on the offense. He was using some wisdom, too. So are we prepared? Are we prepared for spiritual warfare? Something that the enemy does, and he's real good about it, he's really good at disguising spiritual warfare in the five senses realm. Really good about that. And that's exactly what he wants. He wants it to become about us. Me versus my own problems. Me versus my enemies. My problems are so big and bad. My problems are this, my problems are that. My problems. I kind of think that for the most part, behind every problem that we actually have, there's usually a spiritual cause. So where do we get the perspective and the wisdom to see what's really going on? The spiritual battle is so well disguised. So let's just call it what it is. David was not fighting his personal enemies. He was fighting God's enemy. The giant himself was defying the army of the true God. We're going to jump down to verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Who is this big, tall guy freaking out all of these skilled Israeli fighters? David wasn't even supposed to be in the battlefield, remember? He was just bringing supplies. His father sent him to go see his brothers to bring supplies. And you know what? David stepped forward to fight for God's honor. Because Goliath was challenging God's honor. Verse 46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands." And there it is yet again. David said it himself that he was not fighting his personal problems or his personal enemies. He was fighting God's enemy in that particular situation that showed up in the form of Goliath, the biggest and baddest soldier around. If that was us, I think we would probably prematurely be using the restroom if we saw him coming in our direction. And you know what? There were other guys too that went to scope out the promised land and came back. They were all freaked out. But David had the missing ingredient that those guys didn't have. Faith. Faith that God would give him the victory because he was fighting for God and not for himself. So can the assumption really be made from the story that God will give us the victory when we are fighting our own personal giants? Now, I can say this. The Word of God is so much deeper and so much greater than it appears on the surface of the five senses level. Jesus Christ, when he was communicating and talking to his disciples, he would use, abstract truths through parables and things of that nature, and the disciples would be kind of scratching their heads. Because we live it with a brutal reality. We will never defeat all the giants in our own life, as hard as we may try. So why allow one thing to stop you from being that God has called you to be? So the question still remains, are we prepared? Are we prepared? Because here's the thing that is so often overlooked in this record. When David showed up that day, he did not suddenly become courageous. He did not suddenly develop faith in the middle of the battlefield. Faith like that doesn't appear overnight. It was already there. David had been preparing long before anyone even heard the name Goliath. Then David tells Saul something quite interesting here. I'm going to kind of backtrack in verse 30 to verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath delivered the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David says that when he was tending his father's sheep, a lion and a bear came. What did David do? Struck them both. Now think about that for a moment. When David was out there in the fields, nobody was watching. Okay? There was no crowd cheering him on or anything like that. There was no king observing him or whatever the case may be. It was just David and God. And those moments were not small moments. Those were preparation for David. So while everyone else kind of saw David as just the shepherd boy, God was preparing a warrior. While everyone else saw sheep, God saw a training ground. David was learning courage, trust, and reliance on God when nobody else even knew what he was doing. And that's the thing about preparation. It often happens in the quiet places of life, especially with God. Sometimes we think that being prepared happens when we step out into the battlefield, so to speak. But most of the time, being prepared happens long before the battle even arrives. And that's so important. That's why it's so important to actually be prepared, so that when the battle does happen with whatever we're facing, we're just ready to go. And we can just let God do his work through us. Isn't that the same principle that we see throughout God's Word? I mean, time and time again, before Moses ever stood before the Pharaoh, he spent years in the wilderness. Before Joseph ever ruled Egypt, he had to endure prison. Before Jesus Christ began his ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness as well. So, preparation. Okay. God is always preparing people before he places them into the moment that the world could really use them, right? I'll tell you what. I'll be open about something again. I've been open recently about some struggles that I've been going through. Okay. I have no doubt that hitting the gym is God pushing me to take another step towards living a more fulfilled life. I don't know. That's just an example. I can only imagine what God is going to do for me in the near future. And I'm feeling so much better because of it. So when David arrived on the battlefield that day, everyone else saw a giant. This giant of a man, right? Terrifying. I would have put the back, been out that back door by now. But you know what? David saw something very different. David had already experienced God's faithfulness, right? When he was fighting off that bear and that lion. Because God, he knew that God had delivered him before. God had already proven himself to David, right? And that is where confidence in God truly comes from. It does not come from wishful thinking. It comes from remembering what God has already done for us. David said, right, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. Notice something else that's quite fascinating and worth looking at. Notice that he did not say, I will defeat this giant. I'm going to go out there with my little pack of rocks and my slingshot. I'm going to... He didn't say that. Instead, he said, God will deliver me. That's what being prepared is all about. We go up there at Old Town on Saturdays. That's a spiritual battle right there. If we were not prepared for things that could potentially come, I mean, we run into all sorts of things. We run into devil spirits at least probably once every time we're there. There's no doubt about it. If we were not prepared, if we did not have the spiritual skills to stand up in the face of those things, we wouldn't know what to do. We would freak out and we would probably run the other way. But that's preparation. That's why it's so important to be prepared. There's another truth that we see from this record. The army of Israel were trained. They were trained. Israeli, skilled Israeli fighters. I mean, they had armor. They had weapons. They had numbers. But guess what? None of those things actually prepared them for who they were about to face. Why? Because many people think that being prepared is, I have to go to the gym. I have to become physically strong. I've got to train with all these weapons. I got to do this. I got to do that. Preparation is not just physical. Most importantly, it is spiritual. You can have all the knowledge in the world and still not be prepared. You can have all the resources in the world and still not be prepared. You can have the right position at the right time and still not be prepared. It's really something, guys. It really is. That's why I think last weekend's theme was so important. Prepared heart. Because a prepared heart recognizes something that an unprepared heart does not. A prepared heart recognizes who the battle actually belongs to. Unprepared heart, I have to do this myself. My battle, my problems, my enemies, my this, my that. David understood this really clearly, right? Because when he stood before Goliath, he didn't try to intimidate him. He didn't compare strength. He didn't measure size. He said something incredible, right? Verse 45 in 1 Samuel 17. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. In other words, David flat out told the giant something along the lines of, you may have the weapons of this world, but I have something greater. That's preparation. Preparation is not about having bigger weapons. Preparation is about knowing the power of the one that stands with you. And that leads to another important point. When Saul tried to give David his armor, what happened? I'm not going with this. I can't go with this. Took it right off. Now, kind of interesting, huh? Tell you, if I was given some extra help, some weapons, some armor, and I knew I was going to face a 9-foot man, I'd probably take it. Saul thought that armor would prepare David. But David knew something that Saul probably didn't understand. David had already learned how God worked in his life. The sling and the stones were not random tools. They were things that David had actually practiced with. Being prepared means knowing how God has equipped you. Sometimes people try to fight spiritual battles with someone else's armor, someone else's methods, someone else's approach. You know, we have all these counselors and therapists out there. That's fine. I have great respect for these kinds of people. But they're not spiritually prepared unless they're born again of God's Spirit. We've got all these videos on YouTube. We've got articles we could look up on Google about how to fight depression, how to battle our anxiety, how to face this, how to face that. That's nice. But they don't spiritually prepare you. David did not need Saul's armor because he already had what God trained him to use. You know? And think about that for a moment. A giant had armor from head to toe. David had just a sling and God on his side. So from the five senses perspective, he probably looked ridiculous compared to this 9-foot giant. Probably looked like a 4-foot, I don't know how tall David was. But compared to this 9-foot giant, it probably looked like a little baby. But with God, as we know, all things are possible. This record is not even about the sling itself, not about those pebbles. It's about trusting God. When the moment came, David did not hesitate. That's how prepared he was. He did not hesitate. As the record says, he ran towards the giant. And this is such a powerful detail. David did not slowly approach. He did not cautiously move forward. He ran. Why? Because when somebody's heart is prepared, they don't freeze in fear. Fear has no place in a believer with a prepared heart. A prepared heart moves forward in faith 100%. So when we ask ourselves the question this morning, are we prepared? I think we're really asking a deeper question. Are we preparing our hearts every day to trust God? Are we building our spiritual strength even when nobody's watching? Are we learning to rely on God in the quiet moments of life so that when the big moments arrive, we already know where our confidence lies? Because the truth is, giants will appear in life in many different forms. Challenges will appear. Opposition will appear. But preparation changes how we respond when they do. So just like David, when we are prepared, we can stand in the middle of the battlefield and say with confidence, the battle is the Lord's. Amen. Father God, what a tremendous Father you are to us all. You know our strengths, you know our weaknesses, you know the areas in life where we need your help, Father. We just ask and pray for our hearts to be continuously prepared for life's giants, and especially things that go against you, Father God, things that are not from you. I just pray for each heart here this morning, and those that have dialed in on Facebook Live, Father, you continue to give us strength and encouragement and continue to prepare us to stand up and fight for you. And it's in Jesus Christ's powerful name we pray. Amen. Bless your hearts, y'all.
Message, huh? Yeah, something to work our hearts so that we're prepared all the time. So thank you very much, Daniel. Well, let's have a great week believing God, trusting in Him, knowing that He works for us. Huh? We're His kids, and we're in His family, so He's going to work for us and with us for sure. So God bless you. Have a great week.